This podcast is made possible by supporters like you. Mahalo. And by Atlas Insurance Agency, Hawaii's largest professional agency, helping Hawaii navigate insurance solutions since 1929. More at atlasinsurance.com.
Aloha mai kakou. Welcome to a new episode of What School You In? Start every conversation with that question. I'm Ron Mizutani, and today we're talking about an iconic gathering spot in Waikiki that celebrated its 49th birthday on July 27th. Next year, it turns the big 5-0. It's amazing. Hula Bar and Lay Stand is what it's called today. I want to welcome back Flash Hansen to BBS Hawaii. Flash is the Director of Promotions and Marketing at iHeartMedia Honolulu, a radio DJ, podcast host, so much more, and by far one of the best marketing guys in, I know, in this town and really across the globe. Back in the day, yeah, I'm just reading what you wrote here, brother. Hey, come on, you write it, I'll read it. You know, I'm like Ron Burgundy without the question mark. And back in the day, the promotions and marketing director of the Wave Waikiki and Hula's Bar and Lay Stand. Welcome back to Flash Hansen.
Yes.
You know, for the longest time, Flash, wait, well, first of all, let's dive back to this.
Yeah, let's do it.
I digress. I'm getting off of script here. What school you went?
Kalani, my freshman year. Okay. And we moved, thank God, because I was not a fan of Kalani at the time. And then I ended up graduating from Kaiser.
Cougar pride.
Go Cougars. Poor man's Punahou.
You said it. I'm just giggling because everybody says the same thing.
Definitely the running joke. Poor Kaiser.
You know, the irony of it all is poor Kaiser, but Henry J. Kaiser is one of the richest humans on the planet Earth.
Exactly.
And he was, talk about, you know, Jack Law being visionary and way ahead of his time, business savvy, et cetera. Mr. Kaiser was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, if you look back at the history of Hawaii and its development and growth.
Exactly.
Kaiser was the guy. In fact, Kaiser became a verb in our lives when we were growing up. So anybody who was acting tantaran, we would say, who you, Kaiser, you know? And people would be like, what? Or, you know, somebody who's very rich and affluent. So, yeah, so that's so you got a lot of pull with that.
I have to use that. I've never heard that before.
Oh, yeah, we used to say all up in the heights of KS, come in, man, we act like you, Kaiser, you know? Like, anyway, so Flash, take us back. When did, because Hula's already had established itself as a brand, but also a destination in Waikiki,
yeah.
Back on Kuhio, we would go there clubbing too, because it was just a cool vibe.
I hate to say it, but it was a great place to pick up girls.
You know, it was, and I'm just going to say that.
Yes,
you know, and it was known as, you know, a place where our gay community hung out.
Yeah,
but yet it didn't matter. I mean, folks were there just to have a good time.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the reason why young, beautiful, single women hung out there as well, because they felt safe.
Right.
And they were safe. And they could just dance and have fun, and, you know, guys wouldn't be weird and stupid. So I was just lucky enough to work there.
So you're making me chuckle, because I know a few guys who went there just for
that. Yeah. Oh, no. It was a thing, for sure.
Yeah. And so back then, Hula's Bar and Lay Stand, Hamburger Mary's was
right
next door,
yeah,
under the big banyan tree.
Yes.
It was a beautiful venue, by the way.
Yeah.
Take us back to, how did Jack see that as an opportunity in Waikiki, knowing that there was a need and a niche that he needed to fill, and really a smart businessman to say, hey, this is going to be a hot spot.
Hula's is really Bob Magoon,
right,
a very old, influential real estate guy, speaking of Henry Kaiser, approached Jack, who was young and out of college and had just moved to Hawaii and was sort of looking, you know, trying to find his way, looking for what he was going to do here. Jack was obviously super smart. Bob was like the money guy, had the influence. He had this piece of property. And so him and Jack were able to team up and open this. And really, if you look back at it now, you know, this would be you just graduated from college, nobody knows who you are, and this multi-millionaire approaches you and has this fantastic deal. It's really, I mean, it was just really, you know, fortuitous and serendipitous, I guess, pick a word, where that these two guys met up, and they were such a great team. And I know we didn't mention Bob Magoon in the Wave interview, but I mean, Bob Magoon was sort of the quiet money man behind, yes, Jack from day one, but smart enough to let Jack go and do his own thing. And the both of those guys are type A stubborn, and you know, they would butt heads in the best of ways, just like Jack and I would butt heads in the best of ways. But it was really a match made in heaven, and it was certainly very progressive and ahead of its time, but not as ahead of its time, not too much ahead of its time, because the business was so successful so quickly, and there was nothing else like that in Waikiki. And really, one of the pillars that made and still does make Hula so successful, and the business world and everybody is aware of this now, but no one was trying to go after, like, the gay traveler, like the gay, right, vacationer, right? Mm-hmm. Jack knew this already because this was Jack's life and lifestyle, but the average gay person makes more money than the average straight person does. They travel more, and when they travel, they spend more money and stay longer. There's all these boxes get checked of why it just, in hindsight, would make total sense to open Hula's in Waikiki when he did. And, you know, at the time, that the tourism economy was just exploding in, mm-hmm, Waikiki, right? And so it was just that classic right guy in the right place at the right time, and a beautiful piece of property, like you said, the banyan tree, you know, at the time with the Kuhio Theater across the street. Theaters, yeah, and that cool Art Deco thing. So people were going to the movies there. Mm-hmm. Hamburger Mary's was popping. It was just like, Kuhio was just cool.
Yeah, he was.
Back then, in a way that Kalakaua was always sort of the more buttoned up corporate, and Kuhio was sort of the more down and dirty and fun,
right,
spot.
But it's already, you're perfectly said. I mean, right down the road is 80% straight. I mean, it was just, yeah, a cool vibe down in Kuhio Ave. It still is. It's very different from Kalakaua still, yeah, to this day. A couple of things I want to say. Mr. Magoon was a genius, not to mention just a multi-bazillionaire, but, you know, he was in the visitor industry for a while. He understood travel, you know, with Hawaiian, yeah, Airlines. So he understood and could recognize an opportunity that that could fill a need. I want to correct myself. Not a niche. This is not a niche. This is a absolute need that needed to be filled. And so I want to make sure that I clarify that my view on this. This brand, this iconic destination, was a true destination.
It was.
For local community, too. Flash.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's what I was getting at with the tourist thing was gay tourists would plan their vacations around Hula's. So you'd have visitors that otherwise would not have vacationed in Hawaii, mm-hmm, simply vacation here because of Hula's. You know, a good comp for that is Duke's, right? You talk to some visitors that they say, I stay in Hawaii, I stay at this particular outrigger. Mm-hmm. I only come to Waikiki because Duke's is here, because I want to come and hang out at Duke's. So it was very similar. And these tourists would have gone elsewhere otherwise if it wasn't for Hula's. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there was obviously in the gay community back in the 70s, it was the first place that they had to call their own, mm-hmm, and to feel safe.
But it's known around the world. I mean, not, yeah, just because of the gay community's interest in travel, but other bars are really, I mean, 50 years in existence by next year. You don't hear about that in any kind of brand.
Yeah,
or in any industry for that matter, the longevity, the success. There's a lot to be said about, you know, what's being done.
It's really incredible. Sort of the Wave gets a lot more attention, and I mean, the Wave was, it's funny to say it, but the Wave was a lot more flamboyant,
correct,
and had a lot more flair to it. And so the Wave got more press, but I mean, the fact remains that Hula's opened 6 years earlier. Oh, and Hula's is still open.
Right.
You know, when the Wave closed, you know, back in 06, Hula's is still cranking along, mm-hmm, and having to make the transition from the middle of Waikiki and outside under the banyan tree. How can we ever recreate this? And then to make the move to the Waikiki Grand on the other side of Waikiki, where you're on the second floor in a hotel and you're not outside. There is no banyan tree. It's like, this is never going to work. You know, we heard every reason why it wouldn't work. And we were just as nervous about it. But, you know, Jack being Jack, and more so the loyal following of Hula's, basically ensured that it was going to succeed.
Very different view. I mean, the view of the zoo outside. I mean, it's a beautiful venue. But
it's
very different.
Yeah.
So as a promotions guy, I mean, you had your work cut out.
Yeah.
Or did you?
No. It was, we were all worried.
Right.
How are you? And, you know, you got to think about the times. Not everyone was on email. The internet was relatively new. Not everyone had a smartphone. So how you reached out to people was a little bit different. And we had to let literally the entire world know that Hula's is not where it has been for the last 25 plus years. Now it's going to be somewhere else. And oh, by the way, it's in this tiny little hotel where, you know, signage in Waikiki, the rules are super strict.
Yep.
You know, you have to find your way, weave through the lobby to get on up to the second floor. And what are our neighbors? There were so many questions. And, you know, at some point in all things, just in life in general, it's very easy to think about all the reasons not to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot harder to just be like, but yeah, but what if it works?
Right.
So we had no idea what the response was going to be. And it was really, it was hard. One thing that got super weird was there was a time when the old Hula's was closed, the new Hula's was under construction. So we opened up the Wave during the day. From 10 in the morning, and only at 10 because our liquor license precluded us from serving alcohol any earlier. So we opened from 10 in the morning till I think 6 at night or 8 at night, I can't remember. We would have Hula's at the Wave to make sure. And the reason, part of the big reason that we did that was not only did we want the customers to still have a place to go and feel safe and enjoy themselves, but it was really sort of embedded marketing of Hula's isn't going anywhere
right.
just because the old place is closed. Like if we would have closed and then not had a Hula's for a year or whatever it was in between construction, you know, you lose those people. But we gave them a space and we gave the staff a space so that everyone could still be employed and the customers could still come so that when the new Hula's opened, you would still have all those familiar faces. And I do think that wasn't, we weren't making money doing that. If anything, we were losing money. But I always looked at that as that's just a marketing cost to keep the name going, to keep when visitors came, that they would be pointed to the Wave during the day as opposed to being like, oh, Hula's is closed. It's going to reopen in a year. But it was tough. The first, you know, the transition wasn't smooth sailing by any means, but it was doable. And it's, to be honest, I probably wouldn't have had the balls to do what he did. And I had told him many times, I didn't think it was going to work. And this is why, but it's just like, well, that's why he's Jack and I'm not, is, you know, he just had a clear vision of how it was going to work and why it was going to work. And he also sort of didn't care. He was willing to risk the money and, you know, truly put his money where his mouth was, because he thought it was more important to have a Hula's that was open than to do the smart business play.
Right. It was his responsibility, he felt, I bet.
Yeah,
to fulfill that.
You know, Jack has set in place some things that Hula's will go on in perpetuity after he passes away. He wants to make sure that Hula's exists, not for himself, but because he just wants staff and community around the world, to be able to have a place where they can go and be safe and enjoy
right.
themselves.
And not to mention award-winning food, live music, I mean, everything that that is important in the experience.
And don't forget, Hula's started, you know, the first gay film festival in Hawaii, you know, the Hula's Film Festival, which has turned into this much bigger thing now. But Hula's was the building block and the stepping stone for a lot of things in the gay community, with gay rights, gay business people. Hula's opened a lot of doors for a lot of people. And Jack has so much respect and clout in the industry as a businessman, first and foremost, regardless of what his lifestyle is. He was truly able to forge a path forward for the entire LGBTQ community.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because that's so very important to what the conversations we have today about inclusion, diversity, acceptance, all of those trigger words that we use today, every day. And businesses recognize that in the 70s and 80s, that was taboo, you know, for most part. I mean, folks wouldn't even talk about that. That's why they needed a safe place to just right. hang out. Now folks are understanding that this is important and this needs to be who we are today. And I think Jack and those who came before us really set the, you know, set the foundation of this, of who we are today as a group, as a society.
Yeah, and it was important in hindsight. It was important that Hula's was as successful as it was, and the sales and the numbers were what they were, because it's not like he was opening this tiny little place that was like, oh, it's a safe space, but it's like they're just breaking even or whatever. Like, he was making money on par with any bar or club in town. So he really had a seat at the table first and foremost as a business and as mm-hmm. a businessman. And then all that other stuff just happened to come along with it. But he got a lot of respect first and foremost for just being a smart, good businessman. And yeah. I think that was really important to help open those doors.
Inspired many business yeah. owners today.
He's very well-respected and very well-liked just within the business community at large. But mm-hmm. he's really been really solely responsible for a lot of movement in the right direction on a lot of things. And he is, if you've ever met the guy, he's yes. damn charming. So yeah. he's easy to like.
He's an incredible, he's got charisma and just something about him that's yeah. magical. You know, I'm going to just focus a little bit more on you, Flash, just for as we wrap this up. But, you know, your career as a, you know, you've checked many boxes, but I can't imagine something so exciting in a young 20-year-old that got the call to say, hey, come work for me. And by the way, you get to have this pretty cool job to promote the Wave Waikiki, to promote this iconic brand in Hula's. What was that like, man? I mean, we'll talk about life in the fast lane, I'd imagine. But at the end of the day, you can look back. Is that some of the best years of your life?
I had just come off of, so I had opened my own nightclub with three friends when I was 24. We obviously didn't know what we were doing. The nightclub was open for 2 years. It was called Club 1739. Ironically, it was right across the street from a restaurant I was going to own in Century Center called Apartment 3, like 20 years later or whatever it is. But I had just come off of what I thought was a lot of fun owning a nightclub. A lot of work. My dad called it my college education, because obviously I learned a lot going. I was just a bartender, and then all of a sudden I own a nightclub. So I learned, I got a crash course in business and in life. But at the same time, it was like, well, this didn't work out. So I was back to square one of like, well, what am I going to do? Do I like want to bartend again? Like, I didn't have any thoughts about, oh, I can use this nightclub thing as a stepping stone to something else. And while I was trying to figure out what I was going to do, we had a hooey of staff and of DJs and of great bands that didn't have a platform anywhere, and we wanted to keep that going. Just for the culture, for the community, for nightlife at large, we didn't have any financial aspirations at all. We went to the Wave and we pitched them, and it's like, we either going to do this night at the Wave or we're not going to do it anywhere, because it's the only place we want to do it, because it was the Wave. And we pitched them on the idea of us just coming in as an outside promoter. They'd never had an outside promoter before, and back in the 90s, that wasn't really, mm-hmm. people weren't doing that yet. And through doing that and the success of that, and it was successful quite quickly, I'd never met Jack. You don't meet or deal with the owner of a nightclub when you're just like throwing a night on their slowest night. And it's a night that everyone thought was just going to be whatever. But I got a phone call about 6 weeks into doing, we were doing Tuesdays, was called the Pussycat Lounge. I got a phone call from him 6 weeks in, and I couldn't believe he knew my name, my phone number. It was super weird and surreal. And everyone at the Wave like talked about him in these like mythical, like hushed tones, you know, Jack. So it was, I didn't quite really understand it, to be honest with you. And I was really scared because I didn't consider myself a marketing person or a promotions person. I'm like, I know the bar, like I could bartend here. I could be your bar manager, but you guys have that. I don't even know if I want to do that. So it was, I just thought it was very strange. I thought even there was other people, the other guys that I was doing this with, maybe you want to talk to them instead. I didn't get it. So I was really scared because I thought he had the wrong person and I didn't really understand. And not having a background in promotions or marketing, and then you're talking about the Wave, I just thought it was the most insane, stupid thing ever, to be honest. Like, I couldn't understand. And I'm like, he's super smart. Like, he's really, like, he knows something that I don't. I just don't see or understand what that is. And he called me, and then I met him the next day. He offered me the job right then and there at point blank. And I was just like, I don't even know what that job is. Like, I don't understand what that job title is. What does that mean? So I was super scared. Long story short, I finally wrapped around my brain that what's the worst that can happen, right? You could fail. And that was another, I think that's a great life lesson for anyone, is once you get comfortable with going, okay, what's the worst thing that can happen here? Oh, I could totally screw up and fail. And then I could go back to trying to figure out what I was going to do anyway. So, but then in the meantime, I got to say that I worked at the Wave. I obviously knew I was going to learn stuff. It was like I was going to get the keys to the kingdom to find out how this whole magic machine works. So I was very excited and curious about sort of the intricacies of the day-to-day nuts and bolts of the business worked, because we were kids trying to run a nightclub and we were just completely winging it, didn't know what we were doing. And now it was like, oh, now I get to go to the big leagues and see how it's really done, how a true professional makes the sausage, right? So I said yes, and then I was still scared, and I spent the first 6 months, you know, being scared. But Jack was just so kind and so nice, and I was very forthright about my skill level on everything. I mean, I told him, I said, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't understand. But he's like, well, you took our slowest night and made it like our busiest night on a night that we've never been able to figure out in like years. And in 6 weeks, you made it our busiest weeknight. And now your sales are competing with the weekends. So he's like, there's something there. Like, you're doing something right. But again, I just my brain didn't think the way it thinks now, right?
Right.
So I think ultimately it was just Jack handholding, and not just Jack, but the entire team at PBA, Pacific Bar Associates, which is the umbrella company that owns the Wave and Hula's, just helping me and guiding me. But also it's like when you're surrounded by rock star talent, you know this as well as anybody, you know, when you're surrounded by rock star talent, then it gives you the freedom to just do what you're good at, right?
Right.
So I very quickly grew into the role, and then I was like, this is awesome, because I do have the keys to the kingdom. I've got all these fun toys and all these talented people at my disposal. Like, let's see what happens. Let's do the stuff. And then eventually when there was an opening for Hula's, I was sort of like a temporary guy, but I was like, I want to do Hula's too. Like, I relished the challenge of doing it. I had so much fun doing Hula's. It was so different than the Wave, but marketing is marketing, right? At the end of the day, you're selling a widget, whatever the widget is. But it was so fun, and I love that challenge,
pretty
too.
Pretty cool widget, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really it.
That's
my life has never been the same because of it, for better or worse.
Life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Brother Flash, you know what? I probably could write a book about your life, and we'd have to bleep out a few words here and there, but
yes.
All good. Hey, Flash, continued success to you. Thanks for stopping by PBS Hawaii and sharing. I can't believe Hula's turning the big 5-0 next year, and when that happens, you know it's going to be a massive celebration for sure. For sure. Mahalo nui for joining us, folks. Join us next week, another episode of What School You Went. Until then, ahui ho.
What School You Went is a PBS Hawaii production. Music by Taimane Gardner. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and tell your friends. You can find us on pbshawaii.org and everywhere you get your podcasts.